How many have ever heard a message on this passage of Scripture? Anyone? All right. All right. Well, this is a very important. You think, what do you mean? This is so important. But the children of Israel had been taken captive to Babylon. You go to Jeremiah chapter 25. The prophets had been warning Israel for years. In fact, the northern kingdom of the 10 tribes of Israel, they had been taken captive by the Assyrians. We looked at this last week about how brutal the Assyrians were. They deported them. They scattered them. In fact, to this day, they're called the 10 lost tribes of Israel because they were so scattered, they kind of lost their national identity. And the southern kingdom, which was Judah and Benjamin, they remained, and because they were somewhat holding to the truths that God had given them to walk by as a nation, but then eventually they gave way just like the northern tribes did. And Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He wept and pled, and that's kind of the way I feel. It's like, and there's lots of pastors. It's not just me. There's pastors across this country. I hear messages pleading with people to wake up, to recognize what's going on. And it is. It seems like it's Old Testament Israel. In fact, Jonathan Kahn, how many have listened? If you haven't listened to Jonathan Kahn's messages, you need to listen to his 13-minute message to President Biden and the whole country and all the leaders. And it is. He's kind of like a Jeremiah. He's saying, you guys, you need to turn to God. You need to repent, because if you don't, God's judgment is going to be poured out on this country. And it is. And does God want to do this? We looked at this last week. No, God does not want to do this. But the thing is, when we walk in the light, and we've had the light, this country has had more gospel preached in it than any country on the face of the earth throughout human history. We have more freedoms, more liberties. We've had it so good. And now we're starting to think, well, this is our own doing. It's like, no, God has blessed America. But now we've thrown God out of everything. We're throwing his laws to the wind and saying our ways are better. Our decrees are going to overrule the laws of heaven. And this is just exactly what happened in Old Testament Israel. And this is what God said through Jeremiah. He said, because the Lord Almighty says this, because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the peoples of the north and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and I will bring them against this land and its inheritance and against all the surrounding nations. This whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. In other words, it was spelled out. And I want you to just notice here, it's interesting. God calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant. Now, our daughter, Rachel, we're having a Bible study in Daniel, and we've been going through this. And it is so amazing. Nebuchadnezzar, I firmly believe, we're going to see in heaven. He's kind of an Old Testament conversion, because as most leaders do, they begin to think they're God, and the stuff being pushed on us, the state is the final authority. It's like, no, the state is not the final authority. I loved it last night. We watched Chariots of Fire, and I love how Eric Little stood out against that. No, God is the ultimate authority, not Great Britain at that time. Yes, he was running for his country, but the laws of God had priority over anything else. And it's like, that is the exact attitude we need to have. And old Nebuchadnezzar made these decrees for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that if they didn't bow down and serve the image that he made, they were going to be thrown alive into the blazing furnace. And then what God would be able to rescue you from my hand? And I just love, and it's the kind of faith we're called to have. And it's the kind of faith that Ezra had. You think, well, where's Ezra this morning? We're going to get to him. I'm just trying to bring all this together here. But anyway, they said, the God we serve is able. In other words, our God can do anything. He can miraculously provide. He can bring us through. But I just love their confident courage. But we want you to know, O King, even if he does not, even if you throw us in there and we perish, we're not going to bow down to your image. We're not going to listen to your decree because it directly transgresses the law of our God. And it's like, wow. And then it says he was furious with rage, heated the furnace 7 times hotter, threw him in. The guy's throwing him in. It was so hot it killed them. And it's like, and it says, then Nebuchadnezzar leapt in amazement to his feet as he walked, because evidently this is a furnace you could see into. And he said, didn't we throw 3 guys in there? How come there's one, a fourth one, and he looks like the Son of God? It's like, whoa, I love that passage. And it is. And then old Nebuchadnezzar's like, whoa, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. And they came out. Now, the fourth one didn't come out. He went back, but he protected them. And that's it. And we need to know that is the God we serve. Jeremiah knew that was the God that he served. And he was being spoken through by the Holy Spirit to warn Israel of what was coming, and that Nebuchadnezzar was going to carry them into captivity, and that after 70 years, now this is the amazing thing, after 70 years, but when the 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon and his nation, the land of the Babylonians, for their guilt, declares the Lord. Now in 586 BC, Solomon's temple was destroyed. And guess what? At 516 BC, Zerubbabel's temple was completed. Now Zerubbabel, there were 3 returns to the land of Israel. And we're going to look at the decree issued by Cyrus here. Cyrus, the Medes, now this is, I'm bringing a lot of our past messages together here today, because when the 70 years were completed, obviously Babylon fell. And we look at that in the book of Daniel, where in chapter 5, a king that succeeded after Nebuchadnezzar, he had no regard for the God of the Jews, and he basically mocked and had a big party using all the utensils from the house of God, and then all of a sudden, my hands appeared on a wall and started writing, and they're like, whoa, what is this? Man, then no one could figure out the words, what were written, and then they remembered, oh yeah, Daniel, one of those Jewish people that we had taken captive, he helped Nebuchadnezzar in his dreams and his figuring out that there's a God in heaven, that the God of Daniel seemed to know what was going on down here in this world. And they brought Daniel in, and it's not the words that anyone wants to hear. He says, you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Not good. In other words, God had given him his chances, and he just basically shook his fist in the face of God. And that's my concern. I almost feel that about our government officials right now. That is the attitude I see. It's that same kind of, I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what God says. We're going to do it our way. We're going to do it the way we want to do it, and we're going to show you. And that is exactly the attitude, sad to say, the nation of Israel developed. Kings throughout history have developed. And as Scripture brings across, God is in control of the destinies of nations. And he will bring people to account. And so, after this 70 years, these people come back. Zerubbabel, the first wave. Ezra, who is a priest, is the second wave. And the third one is Nehemiah. We're going to look at Nehemiah next week. But Ezra was a priest. He was a priest who was faithful to God through all of this time. And then this is what it goes on in Jeremiah and says, this is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know, now here's a passage that most of us know, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. So these were the promises that Jeremiah spoke. Now, Jeremiah actually witnessed these things. That's why he was the weeping prophet. He knew what God was going to do. And it gives us a little history of what Ezra coming through all this. He was a faithful priest, whereas there were many false prophets, people who had the title of prophet, people who had the title of priest that really didn't have a relationship with God. They were just going through the motions, having a form of godliness, but denying the working of God's Spirit, the genuine relationship that we're called to have with God, that it was just tradition, just going through the motions, not from their heart. And we see throughout Scripture, God has always called all his people to worship him from our hearts, not to just, oh, this is just what we do. This is what I do. And it's like, no, my heart needs to be in this. I need to worship God with everything that's within me. And the fact is, God will and does judge national sins. And that is what we are looking at here in our country. And there is a time before judgment falls that it appears that darkness is reigning. However, in God's time, he deals with it and the nation comes under judgment. Now, that is exactly what Jonathan Kahn is saying right now. We are in this time where we can still avert judgment if we repent. Now, unless I am in the dark on this, has anyone seen any repentance breaking out across America right now? No, I don't see it. That's what concerns me. I don't see it. And it's like, dear God, we are walking the same road. Now, Ezra was a faithful priest, and what he was called to do was bring the word of God back into a reality, that this is the foundation upon which society needs to be built. This is the foundation on which we can move forward as a people and know that just as Jeremiah said, the plans I have for you are good. God wants to bless us. He wants to hear our prayers. He wants to work in and through us. But unless there is repentance, it's not a good thing. This goes right with what the Psalmist said, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that's a good question for us today. What can we do? We need to return to the Word of God. Because guess what? As the people of God, if our nation is judged, we're going to be judged along with them. That doesn't mean God is going to be out getting us, but we're going to have to deal with our national judgment, just like the prophets of the Old Testament did. Daniel went into captivity. Jeremiah, these guys, Ezra, Nehemiah, they were all there. And God was with them, and God will be with us. But this is the thing. That's why it's so important. We need to pray for repentance. And these foundations, what are foundations that we need to have in our hearts? Paul said to the Corinthians, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder. And then he talks about someone else building on it. But each one should be built with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the foundation of our faith. And Jesus said the words, this is what he said in his Sermon on the Mount, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. It's like, wow. So the words that we have been given in Scripture are words we need to take to heart and not just listen to it, but put it into practice. And then when the waves, the winds, the storms of life beat against our lives, our houses, we're going to make it because we know in whom we believe. We know that God loves us and is with us no matter what is going on in our world. And our life is centered in Jesus, and in his words, we find strength and hope. Yesterday, I was called to go and share with a lady from a Catholic background. It was that time in the afternoon. The Catholic priest was busy with the service at the Catholic church. And so I got the call to go up and to pray with this lady. And it's so neat to be able to do that, to be able to go and to share and to see the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding fill their hearts as we're praying and we're looking to Jesus. And that as brothers and sisters in this family was all from a Catholic background, but they had no problem with me being a Protestant pastor coming in. And it is, that's the way it should be. And we ended saying the Lord's Prayer together. And it was just so neat to see the peace that came over everybody. And it's like, that's what God wants. We know in whom we believe. And Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That's what our job is. We need to reach out, and we continue to do that. Jesus called us to take this gospel, his word, into all the world. And this gospel deals with sin. Just listen to Paul to the Corinthians. He says, "Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received, in which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures." That is the basis of our faith. Jesus came into the world to save us from our sins. Now, when we're told that we can't talk that way, that I can't say that we're sinners and that we can change, oh, that's illegal. Well, I guess you're going to look for me in jail then, because I am going to preach that. And I know lots of pastors. Sad to say, lots of pastors aren't preaching that. Lots of pastors have just condescended and just, boom, well, we're just going to, it's a new way, new day. And the new morality, and I've said this before, is nothing but the old immorality. And we just have to recognize what's going on and take this to heart and then try to rebuild our nation. And that's our calling. And that's why it is exciting to see the churches of Hayward working together to address the problems that we are facing, and that Jesus is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that as we recognize this, that God is at work in and through us. And the passage that Ezra here, or that Leon read, it says, "This is the answer they gave us. We are servants of the God of heaven and earth, and we are rebuilding the temple that was built many years ago, one that a great king of Israel had built and finished. But because our ancestors angered the God of heaven, he gave them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldean king of Babylon, who destroyed this temple and deported the people to Babylon." The whole book of Ezra emphasizes this, that we need to confess our sins to God. And Ezra brought forth the word of God and started reading it. And guess what? The people's hearts were melted. They started weeping. They started crying. And that's what I'm praying, that as we dig into God's word, that we see these truths, that it's not just me up here screaming and hollering, and hope you don't think I'm screaming and hollering at you, but it is my heart goes out because I love America. Don't we all love America? And we have been so blessed. We have been so It's unbelievable the freedoms that we enjoy. And now those freedoms are being threatened like never before. I cannot believe how quick. In fact, Scripture is very clear about this. It's with suddenness that events happen. And I tell you, we need to just know that when suddenly things happen, this is not, God isn't like surprised that these things are going on. He's been patient. In fact, he's been much more patient than I would be with our country. And yet he is patient, he's longing. And this is what John says in 1 John. He says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. So don't tell me that sin is okay. No, it's not. It's not. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And this is the good news that we have. God doesn't hold our sins over our head. He forgives, but we must confess. We must ask for forgiveness. And this is what Ezra, I encourage you to read the book of Ezra. And it goes into their many sins, and Ezra confessed them. The people confessed them. They cried out to God, and they made reparations. They changed as a people. And it can be done. And then the plans that God has for us is to restore us, to use us, to build us. And we need to know that God is at work all around us. The Experiencing God class, that's exactly what is taught there. We need to join him in his work and work together. And Ezra recognized how God was at work. And I'm sure he recalled the words spoken by Isaiah about the king Cyrus. Do you realize this was 150 years before Cyrus even came on the scene that Isaiah actually named this coming king that would take the nation of Israel, who at that point wasn't taken captive yet, Judah and Benjamin weren't taken captive, but that this other king from the Medes and the Persians was going, and it's like, whoa, the Assyrians were a big threat, and Babylon was a rising power and all these things. But it's like, but it's amazing. We need to know God knows what's going on in our world, okay? Amen. God is not surprised with what's going on anywhere in all the thing. Just listen to what it says here in Isaiah 44, who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and will accomplish all that I please. He will say of Jerusalem, let it be rebuilt, and of the temple, let its foundations be laid. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. And you know what is said is that it's believed that the prophet Daniel went and shared the truth of what Isaiah said with Cyrus, and Cyrus was blown away. And you know, Cyrus was a good king. Whereas the Assyrians were awful, the Babylonians weren't much better, they were a little bit better in how they treated people. The Medes and the Persians, when they came to power, they had mercy on their conquered peoples. They wanted them to be established. They let them go back to their homelands and to rebuild and to be a part. Because their feeling was that, hey, they would respect that and be much more willing to work with them than if they were brutally treated like so many had. And so Cyrus was that way. And that was what literally took place. Cyrus came and made the decree. And what was being said here is that Darius now had come to power, and they're like trying to figure this out because there was always opposition. And next week, we're going to look at the opposition to rebuilding. And that's what Nehemiah goes into. But Ezra was in the point where things were getting built. The temple was being rebuilt. God was reestablishing his people. The foundations were being laid. And society, God's people were moving forward and good things were going on. And that's what I want all of us this morning to have in our hearts, that God is at work in America. And regardless of what comes, our times, our life is in the hands of the Lord. And we need to know that he is with us every step of the way and will work in and through us. And then as God revealed to Cyrus these things, he fulfilled them. And Babylon was taken over, you know, without a battle. That was the thing. There wasn't even a battle. That's unusual. When usually there's big battles, but that night it was boom. The Medes and the Persians took over. That night that the handwriting came on the wall. It's like, talk about quick judgment. You know, we're sitting there, it's like, well, how come it's like in this world we don't see judgment? Well, when God judges, it's evident. Bam! It happens. Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament. Another one where, boom, it looked like they were getting away with lying through their teeth. And all of a sudden, whammo, they got it. And but I want to encourage us all this morning about all the prophecies of Scripture that are set before us, that in God's way and his time, he will put the pieces of the puzzle together. We will be given understanding as Daniel was directed to write. And I'm going to conclude with this. In Daniel chapter 12, and this is looking forward into history, even beyond where we're at today. It says, at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress, such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Now you look at this and you think, well, what does that many go here and there to increase knowledge? You look at us today, look how we go here and there on the face of the earth. It's like, wow, Daniel is seeing that. No wonder why these visions that he had, he was just taken aback. It's like, how do you describe an airplane taking off when all you know are animals and beasts, insects and these kinds of things? And he's seeing these types of things and that increase knowledge. Look at the increase of knowledge that we have today. Again, Scripture talks about all these things, and we need to know God knows the pieces of the puzzle, and that we're not taken aback by the things that are going on. And this is what Daniel said, I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? He replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified and made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. And this morning, it's my prayer that all of us are wise, that we will understand what God is up to, how God is at work. Ezra is a good example. Again, we quickly covered this book and just looking at what God was doing in and through the people of Israel and restoring them to their land, and how God wants to work in and through us in restoring America to the land he wants us to be. And may God help us on that mission. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, this morning we come before you as your people. And Lord, I pray that we see the days we are living in and not fear them, but to look forward that we have been brought together into your kingdom for such a time as this. We're alive now because you meant us to be alive now. You've gifted us, you've talented us to reach out, working together as brothers and sisters in your family, to reach out to a country that, sad to say, seems to be walking in the paths of ancient Israel, and walking and throwing your truths to the wind. And Lord, we pray that you will help us, as Ezra did, to reestablish the truths of your word. And not to just talk about it, but to truly live it out. Because guess what? There's been so much talk and so little application throughout the past year of my life. I just look at all the hypocrisy that there are. Look at the hypocrisy in the church that there has been, where people preach one thing and live a lie. Don't even live the way that they preach. And Lord, none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. None of us here are. But we thank you, Lord, that just as we read, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And so, Lord, as far as the east is from the west, so far do you remove our transgressions from us. We thank you for that. And Lord, we do. We pray that America will turn to you with all of its heart, and that your people will stand up as a unified body and pleading, weeping, and prayer. And Lord, that is our battle. We need to pray. I know that seems weird. What do you mean? We should be out picketing, boycotting, shaking our fist in people's faces. Lord, that's not the warfare you've called us to. Yes, we stand up. We tell people we disagree with this. But Lord, we need to come across in the right spirit. And that's what we're going to be looking at the next number of weeks, coming across in the right spirit. So Lord, I pray that you'll help us in this battle that we are in, to not grow weary in well-doing, knowing that we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. And Lord, that's our calling this morning, to dig in, to work together, to take the truths that are in God's word and live it out in our daily lives. And I thank you, Lord, that you've called us by name, just as you did Cyrus, just as you did Nebuchadnezzar, these Gentile secular kings, and how you used them and turned their hearts to you. And Lord, you will do the same in our day. Help us, I pray. We just look to you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And then we are, Lord, we're going to unite our faith in praying the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.